Welcome to Mashiach Ramban and Parshas Shmos, starting now a new Sefer. The piece in the Ramban that I want to see tonight is a little bit of a relatively longer piece, but it touches on some very enigmatic psukim towards the beginning of Parshas Shmos, and it also touches on Shemos, on various names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we utilize, some of which at least we utilize on a regular basis. We certainly make reference to on a regular basis. And the Ramban helps us understand with greater clarity what these Shemos, what these names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all about. So in Parak Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Snet, the burning bush, he tells him, you're going to go down to Mitzrayim and take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And when you take the Jewish people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So Vayomer Moshe El HaElokim. So Moshe then says to God as follows: Hinei Anochi Bo El Bnei Yisrael. What's going to happen is I'm going to come to the Jewish people. Vayomarti Elohem, and I will say to them, Elokei Abu Seichem Shlachani Aleichem. The God of your forefathers has sent me down to you. For Amruli Mashemo, and they're going to ask me. So what's his name? What's the name of this God who's the God of our forefathers? What should I say to them? So right off the bat, even before you get any further, that's going to be their first question. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Jews in Egypt and says, you know, God has sent me down to redeem you. And they're like, okay, but wait, what's his name? So what does that mean? What's that question? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer is even more baffling. Vayomer Elokim El Moshe. Depending on whether you understand with the next three words as the name of Hashem or just a statement, we'll read it as is. I will be that which I will be. Again, some understand that that is the Shem Hashem. Some understand that that's just a statement. Some understand that part of that is the Shem Hashem. Again, the Ramban's going to get into that a little bit. So that's the answer. I will be that which I will be. Okay. Vayomer. And Hashem said further, Kosomar Livnei Yisrael. Thus you will say to the Jewish people, Ehyeh Shlochani Aleichem, I will be, has sent me to you. Not really sure how that answers the question, but okay. Vayomer od Elokim el Moshe. Furthermore, Hashem said to Moshe the following, Kosam al Bnei Yisrael, this is what you should say to Bnei Yisrael, Yud kei vav kei, Elokei avos seichem, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shlochani Aleichem. You know who sent me down to you? Yud Kei Vav Kei, the God of your forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Zesh Shmi Le'olam, Zesh Zichri L'dor Dor. This is my name forever, and this is how I'm going to be mentioned from generation to generation. So I thought you just told me that the name was something else. Now you're telling me the name is Yud Kei Vav Kei? So what's going on over here? What's the question? What's the answer? The whole thing is very, very hard to understand. So, you know, lest we feel that we're the only ones who don't understand what's going on over here, the Ramban helpfully starts off with the following sentence, and Pasuk Yud Gimel. HaPasuk Hazeh Omer Lecha Parshemi. This Pasuk is crying out to us, explain me. Right? In other words, we shouldn't feel like we're the only stupid people who don't understand what's going on over here in the Chumash. The Pasuk itself is so enigmatic. It's screaming out to us, you know, explain what I'm talking about. Ki lo yitochein sheyomar Moshe v'amru li mashmo liyos lahem os sheyaminu bo. It certainly doesn't make sense. Let's go back to the original question. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Ribbono shel Olam, Klal Yisrael are going to ask me, what's your name? What should I tell them? It's clear that stating whatever Hashem's name is, again, whatever that means, is not somehow going to establish the credibility of Moshe. Why? If you don't believe Rachmana Litzlan in God, or if you don't believe that God told Moshe Rabbeinu to go down and engage in this mission to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael, by the way, the God who sent me, whom you don't believe in, is named XYZ, is not really going to convince anybody. She'im yadu Yisrael oso Hashem, gam Moshe Kohem yada oso. If Klal Yisrael would recognize the name that he would say to them, you know, in other words, oh, okay, we were just testing you, we wanted to see, did you know the real name of Hashem? So if they knew the name of Hashem, So Moshe Rabbeinu presumably could have known that also. So he doesn't know anything more than they know. In other words, it doesn't show any special qualities or inside information that he has when he reveals the name of Hashem to them. They neno also mofis klal, and it doesn't really prove anything. If they weren't going to listen to him, what do they gain by having the name of Hashem revealed to them? And indeed, in fact, if you keep reading in the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam at the Sneh, the burning bush, so later on in Perek Dalet, after this whole exchange, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're not going to believe me. So Hashem says, you know, they're not going to believe you, so I'll give you some tricks you can perform. You can make your staff into a snake, you can turn water into blood, you can turn your hand, make it as if it's afflicted with saras. I'll give you some tricks that you can, some signs that you can demonstrate to Klal Yisrael that you're on the money. But that's only later on. Apparently, the point of disclosing the name of Hashem and that whole conversation is not about proving the veracity of the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu and his credibility. So what's the whole discussion about? For Amar Rebbe Avram, so as the Rambam so often does, he starts with the Ibn Ezra. And here we'll see that the idea that he brings from the Ibn Ezra is one that in a different context he's liked before in his commentary on Chumash, but he doesn't feel that the Ibn Ezra's comments right here are on the mark. For Amar Rebbe Avram, Kishal Moshe Mashem Yomar Li Yisrael Mishmosav. Moshe Rabbeinu's question to the Ribbono Shel Olam, according to the Ibn Ezra, was like this: which I know that you, Hashem, have different names because you manifest yourself in different ways. Which manifestation of yourself are you about to share with Klal Yisrael? In what sense, what name are you using for this mission? And the name that you're using for this mission will determine something about the nature of the mission. What are the possibilities? Well, as the Ibn Ezra has already told us, back in Parashas Lech Lecha, there's one name, Kel Shakai, which is used throughout Sefer Breishis, and Kibikel Shakai lo yasa osos rak b'shem hagodol. Kel Shakai is the name which indicates that God doesn't perform supernatural miracles. God only performs supernatural miracles with the name Yudke Vovke. So essentially the question, says the Ibn Ezra, that Moshe Rabbeinu was posing to the Ribbono Shel Olam on behalf of Klal Yisrael is, is your plan to perform supernatural miracles when I go down to Egypt? If so, the name that you're going to utilize in this mission is Yudke Vovke. If not, the name that you're going to utilize in this mission is Kel Shakai, right? That God will perform great feats, but not miracles that will necessarily bend the laws of nature. So in other words, the name is really a question as to the nature of the mission itself. Now, this idea of the difference in the meaning of Kel Shakai as opposed to Yudke Vovke is something that the Ibn Ezra already laid out in Parshas Lech Lecha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Avram Avinu and he says, Ani Kel Shakai, that's my name, Kel Shakai. And there the Ibn Ezra wrote that the word Shakai is related to the word Shodeid, which means to capture or to take control of, to act as a pirate, as it were. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes takes control of nature to make special things happen within the context of nature. However, Kel Shakai only refers to those great events that work within the natural order. In contrast, Yudke Vovke means a bending of the laws of nature, supernatural events, which go even beyond God's interference in nature itself. It means when God actually changes the laws of nature. Back in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Ramban quoted this Ibn Ezra, and he quoted him approvingly. He said that's a good pshat in what Kel Shakai means as opposed to Yudke Vovke. But the Ibn Ezra's application to over here, the Ramban doesn't like for the following reason. Vein dvar av nechonim be'enai. I don't think what he's saying here is correct, says the Ramban. Ki adayim lo nema lo moshe shiyasa b'yatsiyas b'sayim osos lo mosim gedolim v'nifloim. Avol shiyatsile miyad mitzrayim v'yalim lo aretz. Now, so far, all that's been told to Moshe Rabbeinu about his mission is that he's going to go down to Egypt, redeem the Jewish people, and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. That's all that's been told to him so far. as far as he knows, there are no miracles, natural or supernatural, that are necessarily associated with this mission. I mean, it's possible that, you know, he'll go down to Paro's palace, he'll ask Paro, would you mind letting the Jews go? And Paro will think about it and say, you know, I never really thought about letting the Jews go, you know? Maybe I'll let them go. You know, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will strike some kind of deal with him. Maybe, you know, he'll work out a deal with, you know, that involves X number of camels and this and that. And Paro will agree. Maybe he'll engage in diplomacy with Paro. Who knows? In other words, you know, the whole nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's mission hasn't really been spelled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet. So says the Ramban, concerning the Ibn Ezra's pshat, how do you know that there are any, you know, any miracles that are going to happen altogether, natural or supernatural? Maybe the mission just is, go down, explain to Paro that the Jews have to go, you know, show him charts and figures, bring him some economists, and, you know, they'll explain to him, you know, pyramid equals MC squared, and, you know, therefore the Jews have to go. And Paro will say, I don't really understand what you said, but I guess I'll let the Jews go. And good, that will be the end of the discussion. Who knows that that isn't going to be what's going to happen? Right, so it's a little bit premature, says the Ramban, for Klal Yisrael or for Moshe Rabbeinu to be worrying about whether the miracles are going to be natural or supernatural. Who said they're going to be miracles? So what therefore is the question? So the Ramban himself suggests the following. L'fi daiti hayo Moshe gam bo eisahi av b'chachma Galdo b'mayla panavua. The first thing you have to recognize, says the Ramban, is that even though this is this seems to be the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophetic career, in other words, this is the first time that we're right. This is the first time that we're reading about any kind of revelation that God is making to him. Don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu is just this neophyte who sort of just picked on a whim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's already av b'chachma, he's advanced in wisdom, gadol b'maylos hanavua, and he's great in the various levels of prophecy. He may not be as great now as he will be eventually when he receives the Torah, but it's a mistake to have this image of Moshe Rabbeinu as, you know, really being unprepared for this encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a very wise and even prophetic person before this encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sinai. Just a very interesting side point that the Ramban is making over here. We shouldn't think that Moshe Rabbeinu just kind of blundered into an encounter with Hashem. You know, he was quite ready for that encounter. Why is that relevant? So he goes on to say as follows. V'derach she'ela bikesh Shiyodiyuhu mihasholeach osel. The question that Moshe Rabbeinu posed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, who are you in terms of this mission? What do you mean? Klomar, that is to say, Be'ezo mida hu shaluach aleihem. We know that God has different midos, different character traits, which are associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes God uses one character trait, sometimes uses a different character trait. Which midah is God utilizing for this mission? V'hinei Omer yishaluni al shlichusi imhi b'midas kel shakai hisha amdo la'avos o b'midas rachamim el yonis shetayasa ba osos umosim. He then goes on to say something which sounds incredibly similar to what the Ibn Ezra said. So since the Ramban rejected the position of the Ibn Ezra, we'll obviously have to distinguish between the Ibn Ezra's perspective and the Ramban's perspective. But the Ramban says, the Jewish people are going to ask me, is the God who's sending you with the approach of Kel Shakai, which is what worked for the Avos? Or is he sending you with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, in which God is able to perform supernatural miracles? Now, this sounds a lot like what the Ibn Ezra said and what the Ramban rejected. In other words, remember, the Ramban likes the distinction of the Ibn Ezra in general, that the name Kel Shakai is about God's ability to act wondrously, but not supernaturally, but within nature. Whereas Yudke Vavke is about God's ability to go beyond the bounds of nature. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam and saying, the people are going to ask me, is it Kel Shakai or is it Yudke Vavke? But that's exactly what the Ibn Ezra said. The question was about it. The Ramban said, no, that's wrong. So why is the Ramban different? So he goes on to explain a little bit as follows. V'zeh ba'avur sh'amar lo anochi elokei avicha elokei Avram v'lo pirei shem ishmosa hakdoshim klal. God had just revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu without using any particular name. So that's what sparked his curiosity. Which name are you revealing yourself to me with? And again, remember the introduction of the Ramban to this paragraph. Moshe Rabbeinu was wise enough and steeped enough in the ways of prophecy to appreciate the difference between the name Kel Shakai and the name Yudke Vavke. V'shoma Moshe shivticho al maimed har Sinai umatan Torah. What got Moshe Rabbeinu's interest was that God had promised him already that Klal Yisrael are going to come back to this mountain, Sinai, right? The Sneh was at Sinai. The Klal Yisrael are going to come back to this mountain and receive the Torah. Where did God say that? In the previous pasuk, both Siacha Esa'am in Mitzrayim, when you take the people out of Egypt, Tavdun Esa Elokim al Hahar Hazeh, you will serve Hashem on this mountain, which Moshe Rabbeinu understands to mean, I'm going to reveal the Torah to you at this mountain after the Jews come out of Sinai. For who are Yodeya, ki atorah lo tinosein b'shem kel shakai, hanizkar ba'avos, rak Hashem agodol shebo hoya ha'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that an event as momentous as the giving of the Torah would not be done through the agency of the name Kel Shakai, because again, that is simply about God using nature for his purposes. An event as historic and as transcendent as Maimed Har Sinai would have to utilize the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name with which God created the world itself. So once Maimed Har Sinai is introduced into the equation, says Moshe Rabbeinu back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, wait a minute, is this a standard mission with Kel Shakai, or is this a mission that's unprecedented and extraordinary with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei? And my reason for asking whether it's unprecedented and extraordinary is because you've told me that the end of this mission is to bring Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai and to get the Torah. That would seem to indicate that there's something extraordinary and, you know, really unprecedented about the mission that you're sending me on, and that the name of Hashem that's going to be the guiding light behind this mission is the name Yudke Vavke, which harkens back to creation itself, not to simply the interaction that the Ribbono Shel Olam has had with the Avos. So in what way is this different from the Ibn Ezra? I think it's a subtle way in which it's different from the Ibn Ezra, and that's as follows. The question is essentially the same question. Is the name Kel Shakai or is the name Yudke Vavke? But what's prompting that question? According to Ibn Ezra, what's prompting that question is, well, I know that there are going to be miracles when the Jews leave Mitzrayim. Are these miracles going to be Kel Shakai type miracles? Or are these miracles going to be Yudke Vavke type miracles? Says the Ramban, the Jews at this point, and Moshe Rabbeinu at this point, has no idea that there are going to be miracles necessarily when the Jews leave Mitzrayim. As far as he knows, there might just be, you know, diplomatic negotiations that gets the Jews out of Mitzrayim. But one thing he does know is that the exodus from Mitzrayim is going to culminate in Matan Torah. It's going to culminate in the Jews receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. And that gets Moshe Rabbeinu thinking, wait a minute, you're telling me the Jews are going to get the Torah? It only makes sense that the Jews will get the Torah if this mission is something in a category by itself. It's being powered by the Shem Yudke Vavke, as opposed to the Shem Kel Shakai, which is wonderful and great and was, you know, the driving force behind what happened with the Avos. But it would seem like this is something that goes above and beyond everything that happened with the Avos. I think That's the difference between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. And it's not a huge difference. In other words, you know, on a fundamental level, even though the Ramban disagrees with the Ibn Ezra in terms of what's prompting the question, Mashemo, what's his name, you know, the difference between the two different names, you know, is still something which the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban agree upon.
If the objective of the mission, parentheses, is offered to Moshe Rabbeinu, what difference does it make what the name of the commander-in-chief is representing himself? Here's the objective, and of course I left and came back, but I mean, I will be... He gave him a sufficiently powerful answer, so I don't understand, and this apparently went on for a week, the resistance and the struggle.
So, right. Right.
I don't understand.
No, so it's an important point. So let me do it al regalachas, and we'll continue from there.
Thank you, Rabbi.
The discussion about the name is really ultimately about the discussion about what manifestation God is going to use when He comes to Mitzrayim.
Meaning, any of Moshe Rabbeinu's business. This is what you got to do.
Right. Okay. That's true. But on the other hand, apparently the Ramban says Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a level of nevuah. He did want to understand how this is working. We find that, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu throughout his career is always asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so like, how do these things work? Which is a legitimate question. In other words, if you're the greatest Navi who ever lived, you know, within limits, you do want to have some insight into how this is working. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who's already, you know, very advanced in his prophetic understanding, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you know, it seems to me that this mission is not just an ordinary mission, because you're telling me that it ends up with the Torah being given at Har Sinai. You know, you, Ribbono Shel Olam, are apparently using a manifestation of yourself that you haven't even used in dealing with the Avos. Is that indeed true? Right? And that's Moshe Rabbeinu seeking to understand what's going on over here with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? So, in other words, it's less about proving to Klal Yisrael who God is, and more about Moshe Rabbeinu understanding himself what is this God who has sent him down, who has sent him to go to Mitzrayim. That's the question. I'm going to skip through the Ramban a little bit. It's a long Ramban, and the Ramban spends some time in the middle talking about midrashic interpretations of the answer that Ribbono Shel Olam gives. You know, my name is Ekiya Asher Ekiya, which, again, the Ramban spends a lot of time explaining from a midrashic interpretation. But then ultimately, the Ramban comes back and addresses the name Ekiya Asher Ekiya from a, well, let's call it a pshat perspective, and he works it back in to the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's question. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu's question, you know, the answer has to fit the question. The question was, Ribbono Shel Olam, Are you taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim in a Kel Shakai fashion, i.e., you know, with basically following the order of nature, or are you doing it in a way which is beyond the normal, you know, in the supernatural fashion, in the way associated with Yud Kei Vav Kei? Okay, what's the answer? Ekiya Asher Ekiya. Now that we understand the question, so what's the answer? Right, yeah.
I was going to say, you know, because Charlie raised a very strong question, I was going to say like this, that the taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim was not really the ultimate goal. Part of the ultimate goal was to establish the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
When Klal Yisrael, when Moshe first came in front of Klal Yisrael, we don't know where they were holding as far as their whole concept of God. Today, even in America, people who are not brought up religious, they understand from a very early age what the concept of God is. They were so mixed up by the culture of Mitzrayim and the Avodah Zarah, even the concept of what God is, maybe it's just a question that
right.
Had to be established.
Right, right. No, I hear.
Rabbi,
Ekiya Asher
Ekiya, that translates into like Ekiya.
Okay. Yes. So we'll try to get into that a little bit. So what is this response of Eki Asher Eki? And is indeed, first of all, is that indeed a shame? You know, is that one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names, or is it just a statement, I will be that which I will be, right? Which is the literal translation. So one of the things we'll see is that there are actually three answers to that question. How could there be three answers to that question? There are only two options, right? One option is, as we'll see in a moment, that the words are just Eya Asher Ehyeh, and they just mean I will be that which I will be, you know, and it's not a name at all. Another answer is that it's Hashem Hashem, Eki Asher Ehyeh. A third answer, which we'll see that the Rambam definitely holds like, and it seems like the Ramban holds this way as well, is that the Shem Hashem is Ekyeh by itself. In other words, you know, Ekyeh, Asher, Ekyeh is a repetition of God's name twice, and the word Asher is not part of the Shem Hashem. Right? So we'll see what the significance is of all three of those possibilities, and we'll bring it back to answer the Ramban's question.
There are 72 names of Hashem?
Right, but there's a name of Hashem that has 72 letters in it, and there are mystical names and the like. There are seven names we know of that you're not allowed to erase. The Shem Hashem and Chokim, you know, they can't be erased under any circumstances. So when the Rambam counts those seven names, one of those seven names, according to the Rambam, is Ekyeh by itself. Not Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh, but Ekyeh by itself. Okay, when we pick up after Ma'arvei Hashem, we'll start with this, going through this answer of Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. I may try to condense things a little bit because there's a lot in the Ramban. We'll try to, you know, stay on point, but Be'ezus Hashem, we'll try to walk away with some complete picture, you know, after going through at least portions of the Ramban. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shia, the Ramban Parshas Shmos. So again, we're trying to understand the question and answer that Moshe Rabbeinu poses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by this Neh. What's your name? What's your name? So we understood the question a little bit from the Ramban, and now we're trying to understand the answer. What's Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh, which is the response? So the first thing to figure out, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, is these words, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, is that a Shem Hashem? Is that one of God's names? Is that part of God's name? Or is that just a statement? So the Ramban brings different opinions regarding this. He starts with Unkulus, and he writes, Unkulus tirgem shnei ashemos ehei imanda ahei. Unkulus translates the words ehei asher ehei as ehei imanda ehei, which is the Aramaic for I will be with the one with whom I will be. So in other words, first of all, right off the bat, it would seem that Unkulus understands that that's a statement and not a name of God, because typically speaking, if it was a name, it wouldn't be translated, right? So in other words, if it's Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I will be with whom I will be with, the implication is it's a statement and not necessarily a shame. However, V'lo tirgem klal Hashem she'omar lo kosomar livnei Yisrael ehyeh shlochani aleichem. In the follow-up phrase, thus shall you say to Bnei Yisrael, tell them that Ehyeh sent me to you. There, the Targum Unkulus leaves the word Ehyeh intact without translating it as Ehei into the Aramaic, implying that that second name, that second time that Ehyeh is mentioned, is indeed a Shem Hashem.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
So that indeed is a Shem Hashem Ehyeh, right?
Hello?
So it's a little bit funny. In other words, the first time that you have the three words Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, that's a statement according to the Targum Unkulus. The second time, Ekyeh Shlachani Aleichem, Aleph Hey Yud Hey, is actually apparently translated by the Unkulus as the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's doubly interesting, even before we get to the Ramban's analysis of the Targum Unkulus, doubly interesting to note that in our version of the Targum Unkulus, this is not the case. If you look at our versions of the Targum Unkulus and print in our Chumashim, the words Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh are not translated in the original phrase, which implies that our version of Unkelus understands that it's a Shem Hashem, that is actually one of the names of God. In the Oz V'Hadar version of the Chumash, printed by the same people who printed the Oz V'Hadar Gemara, basically a team of Talmidei Chachamim who are located in Skver, beautiful, beautiful edition of the Chumash. So whoever put it together, the commentary on the Ramban writes that if you check many, many manuscripts of the Targum Unkelus, they all have the version that we have today and do not reflect the version of the Ramban. Again, apparently the Ramban did have an alternate version of the Targum Unkelus, but one which, at least in terms of the manuscripts that we have today, is extraordinarily rare. Right? In other words, it's not something that we really have, you know, extant. It's interesting to note, again, many people may not be aware of this in general, there isn't one version of the Targum Unkelus. I mean, as you see clearly from this Ramban, there are multiple versions of the Targum Unkelus, and sometimes they deviate from one another, and sometimes in ways like over here, which are actually very significant in terms of just, you know, how do you translate these words? Ekye asher ekye, you know, is that a shame? Is that a statement? It's apparently a machlokas between different versions of the Targum Unkelus.
Sometimes when I'm publishing, I notice that
sometimes
in the version of using, it says Nusach Acher.
Right.
So it could be that whoever
will publish
the
Chumash
of it is like grabbing onto the version that's.
Yeah. No, I mean, but there are multiple versions of the Targum Unkelus, and this you know, this statement from the Ramban where he makes much of a version of the Targum Unkelus which is not our version. You know, it just highlights that fact. It's not the only place where it happens, but it just highlights that fact. Yeah.
The name that we're discussing, the name of Hashem that we're discussing now, is there some reference to that name in Baruch in Sukkot? It's in the Baruch She'amar. Is there some reference to that?
In Baruch She'amar, not in Hineni, that the Chazan says Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur before starting Musaf, so that name is referenced as well, but it's not in Baruch She'amar. Okay, so what is it? What does the name mean? Vanira midaito. It would seem that the Unkelus means as follows, says the Ramban. Again, you know, the Ramban's Unkelus. Ki etzlo Hashem anichbad shahodiu hu ben arba osios ha'ele, that the name of Hashem is actually Aleph He Yud He. In other words, Ekye, the four-letter name of Hashem, that's actually God's name, because the Unkelus doesn't translate it the second time around. But the first time where it says Ehya Asher Ehya, which the Targum translates as Ahei Im Mande Ahei, I will be with whom I will be with, that's not a name of Hashem, that's rather a description of Hashem. And that is, you know, something along the lines of Bo, you know, but what Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu later on in Sefer Shmos, V'chanosi es asher achon, v'richamti es asher arachem, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy to. I'll be compassionate to whom I'll be compassionate to. Ki bo ani im ha'adam l'chonein u'lirachem. In other words, you know, the first statement is just a description. God is telling the Jewish people, you know, if you're with me, I'll be with you. In other words, it's a description of Hashem, but Hashem's actual name is Ekyeh. So in other words, first one is a description, second one is actually a name. So that, we still don't know what the name means or how this answers Moshe Rabbeinu's question. He then goes on to say as follows, V'hagon Rav Sadia Kosav. Rav Sadia Gon writes, what's the meaning of the name Ekyeh? And it seems clear that Rav Sadia Gaon understands that the name is Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. Biuro Asher lo Ovar v'lo Ya'avor. Ki hu Rishon v'hu Achron. Basically, the name Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh, says Rav Sadia Gaon, means that God is immortal, that and God, you know, will always has existed, always will exist, always will exist. And that's simply the translation of the words, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I will be that which I will be. In other words, my existence is continuous, you know, never began, never ended, and, you know, is an ongoing, continuous existence. So in other words, the name describes the nature of Hashem. And finally, one last piece, says the Ramban, as he so often does, he quotes from the Mor Nevuchim, from the Ramban, V'arav ha'amar b'mor ha'nevuchim Chelak Aleph, Perek Samas Gimel, Hanimsa Asher Hu Nimsa, Kloma Roy Hamitzius. According to the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim, Ehya Asher Ehya means I exist because I must exist. In other words, as opposed to other things which exist but don't have to exist. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided for whatever reason that he didn't want koalas in the world, okay, so the world can live without koalas, right? The animal rights groups will get all upset about it, and preservationists and everything like that. Yeah, they're cute, you know. Okay, but you know, the world will go on without koalas. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is so fundamental to the world that there must be a first cause, there must be a creator, otherwise the whole world wouldn't exist. So that's the meaning of Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I exist because I must exist. So the way the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, in other words, the Rambam is one of the few Mefarshim who actually has the Sefer of Halacha. So the Rambam paskins that the name of Hashem, which is Eino Nimchak, which can't be erased, is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. So in other words, you know, the name itself is Ekyeh, and Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh maybe it's partially a Shem Hashem, but it's the Shem Hashem which is to at least to some extent it's a description of the nature of Hashem. Hashem is logically necessary in order, you know, in other words, his existence is not just something incidental. God's existence is something fundamental and required logically in order for the world to exist. So in other words, just to sum up, you know, because again, there are a lot of points here, and we want to just keep on track. You know, both Rav Sadia Gaon and the Mar Nevuchim understand that the statement Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Klal Yisrael a theological principle about God. Either tell him that God is immortal, that's Rav Sadia Gaon, or tell them that God's existence is fundamental and logically necessary, and not just an incidental thing that God happens to exist, but he's in other words, there's something logically that compels us to believe that there must be a God.
The conversation or the mission between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, is it a consequence in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called in terms of Nasa and Nishma? That's what you want. That's what's needed. That's what's necessary.
Oh,
so if that's the outcome, or a major piece of the outcome, then does it really make a difference?
Right. Okay. So hold that question. We'll talk a little bit about the Ramban's response to both Rav Sadia Gaon and the Mar Nevuchim, which he doesn't phrase it exactly like that, but I think it may touch on that question.
Right. Who are they? Who's that in context of Hashem? Could he spoken? Could he written? And
No, so if it's out of context, it doesn't become Kodesh. The truth is the same way that the Shalom, even though you should know we're Machmir, not to take Shalom into the bathroom, but even the name Elohim, which in certain contexts is Chol. Right? In other words, it's not always a Shem Hashem. It has to be, you know, in context. So Ehyeh, if a just person wants to say, you know, Ehyeh Shal Machar, I'm going to be there tomorrow, you know, that's not a Shem Hashem. It would have to be in context as being used as a Shem Hashem. Now the Ramban quotes both the Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rambam, and he says the common denominator between the two of them is that they are both theological statements about God. And because of that, the Ramban rejects both of them as being pshat and pasuk. It's not that the Ramban argues with the theological statements. The Ramban believes that God is, you know, eternal and immortal. And the Ramban believes, of course, that God's existence is not just incidental, but it's fundamental and logically necessary and compelling. But to explain that as pshat in Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, says the Ramban, means that you have to assume that Klal Yisrael had theological questions about the nature of God that Moshe Rabbeinu felt compelled to answer. Right? V'hinei v'ladas eila hachamim tzarek shenefarish ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer l'Moshe shi omer l'hem zah Hashem yilam de moso you know, the idea was that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't just mention these names to Klal Yisrael, but rather he would go into the philosophical proofs that establish that God is these things. Sheyifro lohem rayos sichlios asher bohem yiskayim esel chachmeim ze Hashem. It's not just about a name, according to the Rambam and the Rav Sadia Gaon. It's about a theological principle. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu isn't just telling them, oh, God's name is this, that, or the other thing. The people are unsure about the fact that, according to these interpretations, the people are unsure that God is eternal. The people are unsure that God is, you know, God's existence is fundamental. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to establish that to them. And he says, the aim ze mashma'uso shel mikra. It doesn't sound like the pasuk is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu will go down to Mitzrayim and, in, you know, and give an arachim or an eish hatorah seminar of, you know, trying to prove that there's a God and that he's eternal. The questions in the Chumash seem to center around what's his name. So in other words, you know, to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was engaged in theological discussion with the people doesn't really seem to be what the Pesukim are talking about. And furthermore, you know, the Ramban, as we'll see in a moment, doesn't seem convinced that the Jews were such skeptics. In other words, according to the Rambam and Rav Sadia Gaon, the Jews are uncertain as to whether God is eternal or, you know, fundamental in quite the way that the Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rambam describe him. And Moshe Rabbeinu's task when he goes down to Mitzrayim is to give them a theology lesson. But who says that they were such theological skeptics? Writes the Ramban himself, the Aldaiti lo yistapku zikne Yisrael b'metzias habore kasher omar harav. I don't think Klal Yisrael were fundamentally skeptical about the nature or the existence of God, and he adds the word chalila, God forbid, right? In other words, the Jewish people were ma'aminim. You know, they may have been very simple ma'aminim. They may not have been theologically sophisticated, but, you know, they weren't pressing Moshe Rabbeinu. So how do we know that God is eternal? You know, and how can you show us that, you know, that his existence is a necessary prerequisite for the world to exist? No. You know, he told them God sent them. They believed in God, you know. They believed in God. So then what was the conversation? What's the nature of this name? So here, let's go back to what the Rabbi himself had said, that the question ultimately was, is God acting as Kel Shakai? In which case, God is just performing, in you know, involving himself in the exodus from Egypt in a natural kind of way? Or is God acting as Yud Kei Vav Kei? In which case, he's involving himself in the exodus in a supernatural way? And as the Ramban had said before, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei hints at a certain divine midah, a character trait of rachamim, of mercy, which comes from a very, very high place. So which shame is HaKadosh Baruch Hu using? So that's the question, let's try to understand the answer. This answer, I just want to try to get through it because it's not simple, but I think if we get it, we walk away with something very powerful that's not just philosophical, but actually is applicable on a regular basis. He writes, Zah Shem Shuvas She'loso She'perashnu Loch. The name Ekyer, and we'll see in the Ramban, the Ramban seems to agree with the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, that the name itself is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. In other words, that is the Shem Hashem. Not Ekyer Sher Ekyer, but Ekyer, just by itself, that's the name. That name is the answer to the question which Moshe Rabbeinu had posed. Hodio, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Shu Sholuach Aleihem B'midas Hadin Asher B'midas Harachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu was being sent, Hashem says to him, to perform miracles through God, and God is utilizing the attribute of justice enveloped in the attribute of mercy. So here you have an idea which the Ramban develops, that the midah of din and the midah of rachamim, the attribute of strict justice and the attribute of mercy, are not necessarily two things which are divorced from one another. They can work in conjunction with one another. You know, and indeed, if you think about it, the exodus from Egypt was rachamim for the Jews, but quite a great deal of din
for the Egyptians, right? The two aspects of God's interaction with the world were working in tandem with one another. How do you see that? Because Hashem says to him, Kosomar Livnei Yisrael, Ekya Shlochani Aleichem. Ekya has sent me down to you. Ekya is a name. Yaskir Lohem Hashem Ho'echad Levodo Lohoros Al Ha'achtus. The name Ekya implies a certain unity, right? And that's what he says, Kosomar Bnei Yisrael, Yudke Vovke Shlochani, Ki Hashem Hazeh Umiras Harachamim. Immediately after saying Ekyeh Shlochani Aleichem, Ekyeh has sent me down to Mitzrayim. So then Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell the Jewish people Yudke Vavke has sent you down to Mitzrayim. So which one is it, Ekyeh or Yudke Vavke? The Ramban is going to say Ekyeh and Yudke Vavke are one and the same. They are the same name. If you think about it, certainly grammatically they're the same shoresh, they're the same root. They both come from the Lashon Hoveh, you know, which means to exist. So what's the difference between the two? Piresh lo ki ekya asher sivo lemor lohem hu Hashem hagadol azeh. Ekya and Yudke Vavke, says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, are one and the same name, even though there's a slightly different spelling, but they're basically the same. And he says lehem shavim b'lashonam v'osios, their letters are virtually the same. Ki shtei ha'osios ha'achronos shebishem ha'rishon hem ha'kodmos bozeh. Because the last two letters of Ekyeh, the first name, are the first two letters of Yudke Vavke, the latter name. Ki barishon yoru achachmas Shlomo, uvazeh yoru achachmas Elokim. Here the Ramban already starts getting involved in Kabbalah, so I don't pretend to understand what he says. But in very, very general terms, you know, the two Shemos, Ekyeh and Yudke Vavke, speak to different aspects of the divine Chachma. Ve'os ha'alef shibarishon Torah ala kadmus ve'hayochid ve'yud b'shein al esher spiros delima. So if Ekyeh and Yudke Vavke are basically the same name and they mean the same thing, so why do we have two names that mean the same thing? So he says very simply, the Aleph in Ekyeh speaks about God's unity. Aleph is one. The Yud at the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei speaks about the 10 spheros, the 10 emanations, which again in very general terms mean that, you know, God manifests himself in 10 different ways in the world. That's the idea behind the spheros, that, you know, there's certain, although God is one, it's kind of like when light is refracted through a prism and the light breaks into different pieces. So the light is one ultimately, but it has different shades and colors within it. So too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, but there are different aspects of Hashem. We speak of 10 spheros. So the Yud at the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei speaks of those 10 spheros. The Aleph at the beginning of Ekyeh speaks of the fact that ultimately God is one, notwithstanding those 10 spheros, and the two names are essentially the same. V'nilkechu shtei ha'osios ha'ela ha'aleph v'hayud mishnei Hashemos ha'kdoshim v'nichtevu t'chilo b'sof b'shem ha'nichto v'nikro ba'aleph dalet lahoros kihu ho'atzilus min harosh v'ad ha'sof. We know that we don't pronounce the name Yudke Vavke. We pronounce the name of Yudke Vavke as if it was written Adokai. Now, offhand, you know, what's the connection between Yudke Vavke and Adokai? So offhand, you ask the average person, they say, okay, Adokai is also a name of God, but it's not as holy as Yudke Vavke, so we substitute a lesser name of God for a higher name of God in order to just, you know, not say the ultimate name of God. But says the Ramban, the usage of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as a substitute for Yudke Vavke is by design, and here's why. Take the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Take out the Dalet Nun in the middle. What do you have? You have an Aleph in the beginning. You have a Yud at the end. The Aleph in the beginning of Adokai is symbolic of the name Ekyeh. The Yud at the end of Adokai is symbolic of the name Yudke Vavke. Right. So in other words, at either end of the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you have a representation of one of the names of Hashem that speak of the Midas HaRachamim, of the attribute of divine mercy
that God exemplifies. Because again, Ekye and Yud Kei Vav Kei are essentially the same name. What do you have in the middle of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud? So he says, Midas Hadin Boemtza. In the middle of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud are the words Dalet, Nun, which is Dung, which is essentially the word of justice, of Din. So in other words, the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud signifies the fact that although there's judgment in the middle of the way God acts, the Midas Hadin, that Midas Hadin is flanked on either side by the Midas HaRachamim, by the attribute of God's mercy, symbolized by the name Aleph He Yud He, and the name Yud Ke Vav Ke on the other side. That's the Aleph and the Yud at either end of the Shem Adokai. Umikan Tovin Lama Kam Tsuhu. And now that you understand that, says the Rambam, assuming we understand, you'll understand why under the Nun in Adokai is the Kamot as opposed to a Patach. Now, if you read in Saradit, you don't necessarily appreciate the difference, but in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, there's one time in Chumash where the letters Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud are pronounced Adonai with a patach under the Nun as opposed to a kamatz. And that's when Lot in stone is speaking to the Malachim who have come to visit him. And there Adonai means my lords. It's addressed to, you know, what Lot at the time thinks are human beings. Right? They turned out to be Malachim, but that only becomes clear later on to Lot. In the beginning it seems like they're human beings. The Rabbeinu Bechaye over there in Parshas Vayera has a long exposition where he talks about how it's not by accident that when speaking to a human being, the word is pronounced Adonai, and when talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same letters are pronounced Adokoi, with a kamatz under the Nun. And he talks about how that is a very significant kind of thing, this distinction between the kamatz and the patach. Based on that, there is a whole discussion that even Saradim should distinguish between the kamatz and the patach when pronouncing the Shem Hashem, because of the fact that Rabbeinu Bechaye sees the difference as being significant. Not everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef and his Tshuvas thinks that that's not correct. But you'll see sometimes that even people, let's say, who daven in Sfaradit, when they get to the Shem Hashem, they'll pronounce it Adokoi as opposed to Adokai, you know, because of this idea that the fact that it's the Kamatz is significant. So this idea that the Kamatz is significant is already here in the Ramban. Why is the Kamatz significant? So again, the Oz V'Hadar commentary on the Ramban, which calls from the various classic commentaries on the Ramban, explains as follows. A kamatz, visually, is a combination between a patach and a chirik. If you don't remember all your diktuk, right? The patach is the line, the chirik is the dot. Right? What's a kamatz? Right? It's basically a line with a dot underneath. The patach symbolizes the midas harachamim. God opens up his hand and provides for us. The chirik, l'charek, means to gnash one's, like, yicharku shein. You know, when you're angry, you gnash your teeth. So the chirik represents din, judgment. The kamatz represents the combination of rachamim and din, that mercy and judgment are put together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the very name Adokai, as the Ramban tells us, is a combination of din and rachamim. Hence, says the Ramban, that's why it's a kamatz. Right? That's why it has to be a kamatz. So how do you put all of this together? So apparently the Ramban's understanding of the psukim and the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you sending me with the name of Kel Shakai? It looks like, because you're going to give the Torah, that you're sending me with this greater name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's going to be this greater mission that involves giving of the Torah, supernatural miracles, and some kind of rachamim that's going to descend from Shamayim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to him, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, meaning, I'm sending you down with this unique name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the name itself has two elements composed within it. Ehyeh, asher ehyeh. It's din and rachamim together. That's the usage of the two names. Right? It's going to be a double whammy of din and rachamim, and a unique double whammy of din and rachamim. Ehyeh shlachani aleichem. This name of ehyeh, which speaks about the oneness of God, you know, despite the fact that God is rachamim, is going to be the name and the mission that's going to take you out. And you should know, says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that same name that you're probably familiar with in other contexts, is really the same thing as Ekyeh. Ekyeh symbolizes God's uniqueness and oneness. Yud Kei Vav Kei symbolizes how that same idea manifests itself through ten spheros in the world, but it all comes back to one and the same. What we take away from here, among other things, I mean, I think, is this very incredible, unique pshat in what the name Adokai means. It's not just a substitute for Yudke Vavke, but really speaks of this mixture of din and rachamim, even down to the kamas, which is used underneath the nun, and as the Ramban himself finishes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yar'enu Niflos Mitaraso, God should show us the wonders that are inherent in the Torah HaKadosha itself. So again, really quite a presentation which the Ramban has over here.
It's just a very basic question. Spending time on the whole understanding of the names of Hashem vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. The thing is, you have said before that Klal Yisrael, we believe the Baruch Hu. So how do you deal with the famous Rambam that says
yes, I think you could be a mamid and still an Ovid Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's what you see. There was a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So in other words, even Maminim, you know, we're not above being of the Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
Okay, okay,
it's just Shem Rachamim,
right?
It's just Shem Rachamim, yeah.
Why would I use the Adnuk, which is the
mixture? Right.
Right.
So, apparently, even when Hashem acts to Rachamim, there's din mixed in. In other words, go back to the famous language about the creation of the world. HaKadosh Baruch wanted to create the world with din. It didn't work. So Shitev Midas HaRachamim with din. You know, he co-joined them. But he co-joined them. In other words, even the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, at least the way the Ramban learns, is overwhelmingly Rachamim, but there's still din, you know, that's mixed in the middle, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you know, expresses that as a substitute. Okay, we will pick up Be'ez Hashem next week. I